Turn to John 12. There we go. John 12. It'd be great to have you there in just a moment. What a great song to sing right before I get up. Thank you, Don. You know, I love that song, and it has extra meaning to me now because when I take students to Israel, we go to Jerusalem University College, and Horatio Spafford is actually buried there. I don't know if many of you know that, but he spent the rest of his life in Jerusalem and was one of the leading figures there in bringing so many people to Christ. This morning, I want to talk to you about Mary, not Mary, the mother of Jesus, but Mary, the sister of Lazarus. And she fits into our Glimpses of the Resurrection series that we complete today. I've been trying to lead us up towards Pentecost with our thoughts about the resurrection and wanting to know Christ and the power of the resurrection and to see how the resurrection plays out in our lives as well. Last week we looked at Nicodemus, and you might remember Nicodemus is the one who came to Jesus at night. You remember that he began to grow in his faith. In John 7, he stands up for Jesus. And in John chapter 19, after the death of Jesus, it's Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea that come and ask for the body of Jesus. And it's Joseph of Arimathea who provides an unused tomb for Jesus. And it's Nicodemus who provides 70 pounds of spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And what we discover about Nicodemus, and what I hadn't thought about until this week, was that the first thing Jesus experienced upon his resurrection, as the grave clothes were taken off, was the aroma that Nicodemus had supplied to that tomb. 70 pounds of spices filled that place, not with the aroma of death, but with the aroma of heaven. And it was Nicodemus who gave that gift to Jesus that welcomed him back from the dead. But today I want us to look at a woman who anointed Jesus for his burial. And she did it without even knowing it. Now, it is Mother's Day, and so I do want to honor our mothers and just to remind us how powerful a gift it is to be a mother. What a fantastic responsibility and gift it is to know that you have formed the next generation. And Proverbs 31 says so many wonderful things about women, about worthy women. It deserves our reading and our attention. But when we think about our mothers, we think about their strength and their dignity. We think about their laughter and their joy. We think about their wise words, and we think about the instructions that come with kindness. I try to say often that charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord, that's to be praised. And that's what you want to honor at the city gate and to announce to everyone else, hey, this is special. What this woman has done is very, very special. And I also want to say for some of us who are not mothers that you can be and are spiritual mothers to so many. Even some of our college students are spiritual mothers to the people that they care for every Monday. When they work at Nashville Inner City and they take care of younger kids, when they bless other kids in the children's ministry, Jesus says, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hands towards his disciples and he said, "Behold, these are my mothers and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother." And so we praise God for all of you, especially you worthy women who are doing so much to bless the next generation. Let's pray and we'll jump into the message of the day. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for giving us the gift of mothers. We thank you for the mother that welcomed us into this world. We thank you for grandmothers and great-grandmothers. We thank you for those who have been spiritual mothers to us, whether they were there for us as a counselor or a nurse as we were going through school. Maybe they were somebody who took us into their home when we were in college. Maybe it's a family that cared for us when we were far, far away. We needed friends and a place to go. We thank you for those who have given us wisdom, shared their lives with us. And Lord, we pray a blessing upon all of the mothers, spiritual mothers, physical mothers, those who are pouring their life into others. And we give them praise at the city gate today. And we thank you for their lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to take you to Bethany for just a moment. Bethany, actually, the city means Beth-ani, which means house of affliction. It's an interesting name for a city. And I think you might remember, it's only about a mile and a half from Jerusalem. It was a suburb of Jerusalem, is the way we would put it. And I want to take us to a house there that had a courtyard, just like every house did. And I want to remind you that there were two sisters who lived at that house with a brother named Lazarus. And what we know is that one of the sisters was really great in the kitchen, and the other one of the sisters was really great in the living room. And we remember the story. Luke chapter 10, Jesus comes over for dinner. And we see Martha in the back, slaving in the kitchen, working so hard because she wants everything to be perfect, wants everything to be just right. God bless Martha. Amen. I know my wife will say amen. God bless Martha. She always says, well, you know, somebody's got to cook, right? But Mary and Jesus are in the living room just having a great time, swapping stories, talking about life. And finally, Martha gets a little bit peeved and says, Jesus, don't you care? I'm in here doing all the work. And what we discover here is that we all have a love language, right? We have a language that we like to receive as love, and we have a language, often the same one, that we use to convey love to others. And what we discover here is that Martha's acting in her love language. She's giving gifts. I mean, she's doing acts of service. She's doing acts of service because that's her love language. Well, Mary is spending quality time with Jesus. But Jesus here says, now, Martha, it's not that the food isn't important, but there's some things that are more important. Relationships. Not getting so caught up in the doing that you miss the being. And so he says, Mary has chosen the good part, and it just can't be taken away from her. So we come back to Bethany again. We're in John chapter 11, house of affliction. And this time the city is living up to its name, because you remember that Lazarus is sick. And Mary and Martha are deeply concerned, and what they're thinking is, if Jesus were here, Lazarus would be okay. And so they send a telegram to Jesus that says, Lord, the one you love is sick. Jesus was at Bethany beyond the Jordan. He was down there teaching, and he received this telegram. And his reply to the telegram was, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it. So that message gets sent back. But then we discover that Jesus stayed where he was for two more days. The text says, now remember, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But he stayed where he was. He didn't come running. I don't think God would let him. But it tells us that he arrives after 4 days. And when he arrives there, Martha comes out to him and says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus replied, your brother will rise again. And she said, I know. People have been telling me that all day. He's going to rise again at the resurrection on the last day. And then Jesus says some of the most important words in all of the New Testament. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives believing in me will never die. And then he asked Martha a super important question. Do you believe this? Do you believe that the power I have over death is that complete? Can you claim this blessed assurance that I am promising you today? And she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And so Mary comes out, and the same kind of thing happens, and Jesus says, well, where have you laid him? And so they take him to the tomb. Jesus goes to the tomb where Lazarus is buried. And he asks for the stone to be removed. And Martha says, oh, it's going to smell. It's been 4 days. You can't go in there. And Jesus had no intention of going inside. Instead, he prayed to God and thanked God that God listens to his every word. And then he shouted into the tomb, Lazarus, come out. And I wish I had been there, don't you? To hear the rumbling inside that tomb, the shifting of a body off of a ledge onto the floor, begin to make his way across the floor and up the stairs and out into the world. And Jesus says, take the grave clothes off and let him go. This story changed everything. Because what we read about is that many expressed their belief in Jesus because of this story. And we also discover it's because of this story that the Sanhedrin says, no more. Jesus has got to go. Don't you understand that one must die on behalf of all the people? And so they put a bounty upon Jesus' head. And we begin to realize that it's getting close. Now we come to John chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, look there with me. And what you'll notice is that it's a week before Passover, just 6 days. And we read in John chapter 12, 1 and 2, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany again. This is the place where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So, Jesus is coming back to Bethany. He's coming back to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You're Martha. What do you do? How do you say thank you? How do you express the appreciation for what Jesus has done for you and for your family? What's the love language? It tells us in verse 2. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus reclined with him at the table. Martha is expressing her love language. She's trying to say to Jesus the best way she can, thank you. Thank you. I don't know how else to say how much what you have done for my family means to me. And so we see Jesus sitting at the table, enjoying this dinner, realizing that what we see here is Eucharist. We hear that word mentioned often about the Lord's Supper. That's a way of talking about it. It actually means thanksgiving. And what Martha was doing here with a meal was giving thanks to Jesus for all that Jesus had done for her and for her family. This was a moment to say thank you for everything that you've done for me. And I like to imagine what it would have been like to be Jesus and to know that just in 6 days, he was going to the cross. I wonder if he would have said, Lazarus, tell us what you remember about death and burial and resurrection. Lazarus had a perspective that no one else had. And I wonder if Jesus was like, tell us some stories, Lazarus. Talk to us about what that was like. And can you imagine Lazarus saying, well, there I was, and all of a sudden I heard this voice, and all of a sudden I got up, and all of a sudden I was back. Wouldn't that have been a great story to hear? A story of the power of the resurrection. A glimpse of what was about to come. And so, as all of this is unfolding and there's a beautiful party going on, Mary begins to think, how do I say thank you to Jesus? What does it look like for me to say thank you to the one who gives me my brother back? Not only is it the relationship, but he's the provider for our family. And what Mary thought she had to live on was this. It's a pint of pure nard, a year's wages. It was her retirement. It was what she felt was going to offer security to her once Lazarus was gone. And she thinks about, how do I say thank you for all that Jesus has done for me? And she goes back into her bedroom, and wherever this pint is buried or hidden, she pulls it out. She comes walking into the place where the dinner is being held. She actually takes the scarf off her hair, and she comes with this jar, and she pours the whole thing out, every drop of it, onto the feet of Jesus. Not a dab, not a tablespoon, the whole thing. Judas asks, wasn't that just an exorbitant waste? The smell is just permeating the house. He didn't say that because he cared about the poor. But Jesus used this moment to say, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for my burial. That's why that perfume was created. You will always have the poor, but you won't have this moment ever, ever, ever again. Matthew says that he looked at everybody and said, she has done a beautiful thing. I so respect that because I'm not good at doing the beautiful thing. When I was single until I was 29, I was the college minister at the University of Texas. I had a great group. Sheila and Ken were part of my campus ministry years ago. Not that long ago, right? Yeah. And I would grill chicken and have students over and paper plates, plasticware. You know, we'd have 40 or 50 students that would come over after every football game. We would have a great time. I married Suzanne. And I remember not long after that, we had some missionaries in from Argentina. And I wanted the college students to get to know the missionaries. I also wanted the college students to realize that missionaries are heroes. And so I said, Suzanne, we're going to have the missionaries over. I'm going to grill. You'll do some stuff. And she said, well, we can't serve them on paper plates. I said, well, why not? She said, they're the missionaries. They're back. They need to be honored. And all of a sudden, I mean, we borrowed tables and borrowed dinnerware. And I mean, we had people sitting in every room of our house. But she wanted to make sure that it was a beautiful thing, that it conveyed the love, the appreciation, the respect that they deserved. And at the end of that, as we were washing dishes, I realized that doing the beautiful thing cost you. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of effort to make sure that you show the love, the appreciation, the thanks that is deserved. So, what can you get from this one? First off, I want you to look at this face of Jesus. And I want to ask you this question. How do you need to say thank you? What is it that he's done for you, for your family, for your heritage, for your future? We sing this song, "For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do, for all that you've promised, for all that you are." That's what's carried me through. Jesus, thank you. How will you say thank you? How do you say thank you to Jesus? Well, it's nice, right before Jesus left us in Matthew 25, he says, "Whatever you do for the least of these, you're doing that for me." That's how you say thank you. Go do something beautiful for someone who needs it. Take your love language and express it in thankfulness to Jesus in the way that you treat other people. And understand that even a cup of cold water is a gift. Now, Mary thought back about hers, and she decided to do something extraordinary. She took her security, she took her self-preservation, and she offered it as gratitude and dependence. This was an extravagant, exorbitant gift she gave to say thank you. And Jesus says, it is a beautiful thing. But look what it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 10 and verse 13. As we close this morning, Jesus says, "She has done a beautiful thing to me." And I want us to understand that we, on Mother's Day, but for all the rest of us as well, ordinary women can do extraordinary things. What she has done will always be told in memory of her. Jesus says, this story will never die. As long as the gospel is being preached, it will never, ever die. She used her love language to do something special. And so, my message to mothers this morning is to remind you that you may not ever get a page in the Bible. You won't. You may never stand at the city gate and have your husband there put you up on the bema and say, "Let's give praise to her today." But you should and will be honored for all the things that you do that say thank you to Jesus and bless other people. Jesus says that the king will reply to those who ask, "Well, when did we do the beautiful thing to you, Jesus? When did we ever anoint your feet with perfume?" And Jesus says, "Whatever you did for the least of these, you did it for me." The sacrifice that Jesus made was to pour himself out on the altar for each of us. That's the gospel. Is Jesus giving all for us that we might find hope in him. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised. For all that you are. For all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. So use your love language and go do a beautiful thing to thank Jesus by the way that you invest in other people. Stories of Mary are still being told, and your story will be told as well. It's that legacy of faith that will be passed on from one generation to the other, and that's what you'll be remembered for. Jesus has poured out his life for you. If you've never given your life to him, today's the day to do that. If you need to come home, if you need to be restored, if there's anything we can do for you, that's why we're here. We're not in a hurry. We encourage you to come as we stand and sing.